Caleb back. He's been serving. He's been gone a couple of weeks. I think you were back last week, but it's good to have you back, brother, and appreciate you serving in that way today. I just feel like the anointing in this room today, man. It's like God is everywhere at the same time. So when we say God shows up, it's kind of a weird thing to say that, because omnipresence means he's everywhere at the same time. But sometimes there's this sensibility that we have in worship. He is enthroned. That song says that he's enthroned on the he's enthroned on our praises. That means that we carry along God and who he is as we praise him. We're going to begin with praise. This message is going to end with an idea of praise today. I appreciate Caleb welcoming all of you, first-time guests. We got lots of new people here today. And so I know this is the beginning of the kind of the vacation season. So y'all don't forget from where you came. Okay, y'all come back. All right, just say, do your vacation, get your time, do whatever you got to do, but be back. And we miss you when you're gone. So many out today. And our brother David Ray, I learned this morning, has pneumonia. And I just pray for him. He just struggles so much, man, with physically. And that weighs on you mentally in every other way. And so just be praying about that. So y'all be looking for something special next week. I'm not going to tell you exactly what. Because I don't really know exactly what. How many of you know that when you serve God, you love what you do because you don't really know what you're doing? I mean, you can be talking to somebody over here and this person over here listening, and they receive and this person doesn't. You don't know why this one didn't, but this one did. That's just God works that way. And if you want to join the best small group on Monday nights at 6:30 here at the building, I just happen to be leading it. But anyway, we'd love to have you, because we're going to talk about the first story we're going to talk about is Nicodemus in John 3. We're just going to open it up for open discussion about that, because when Nicodemus encountered Jesus, he said the Spirit goes wherever it will. You can see, like, it's like the wind. You see the effects of the wind and Holy Spirit. He's that way. He affects in different ways in our lives. And had some great conversation with people the last few weeks about that. And I'll be honest with you, man. The more I study about Holy Spirit, the more I think. You ever think you got God? Like, okay, I got him. He's figured out. I got him. He's in this box. I know what he's going to do, when he's going to do what he's going to do. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't do anything like you think he's going to do, whatever. He's the same yesterday, today, forevermore, but he's different every day. And he shows up in ways that, quite frankly, we don't even understand how it's going to happen. And for those of you who are not believers, or if you're online this morning, you're just listening in maybe the first time. Maybe you're listening to it today, or maybe it's 10 years from today. And you're just listening to a recording you happen to run across on YouTube, if YouTube's still around in 10 years. I don't know. But the truth is still going to be the same, that God is who he is, and we have to think eternally with him. In our series right now we're doing, when you came in this morning, you should have received a worship guide. I hope you did. We got a lot of people here today, so it may have run out. Hope we did. That's always a good problem to have. But if you did not, you can also go online. Or you can download the app, like Caleb said earlier, and you can do your notes right there and have them emailed to yourself. But we do have hard copy notes if you got those. And we're going to fill in some blanks this morning, get right into some word. We're doing a series called Connected to Life. Connected to Life. And it comes out of John chapter 15. John 15, I love John's gospel. I just keep gravitating back, because my small group is going to be about encounters with Christ. And I keep gravitating back to John. I don't know what it is about his gospel, but there's just... they're all anointed. It's all God's word, but he just has such a relationship with Jesus himself. When he talks about Jesus, it seems different. Jesus himself he's quoting Jesus when he writes this in John 15. He says, "I am the vine, the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more fruit." That's the phrase where we got this series. The idea of the series is that we're pruning things out of our lives so that God has room to place things back into our lives that he wants to place in our lives. It's so funny to me that we kick against as kids, we kick against our parents, and they're the ones trying to help us. And, you know, as adults, we kick against God because he's the one trying to help us. And he's trying to cut these things out so he can replace with good. And every time that's happened in my life and in your life, you're like, man, why did I resist that so long? I think heaven's going to be that way. I think, why did I, you know, try to live so long over there when heaven's just as good as it is? It's like, why would you even think about that? And so that's kind of how God works. But in verse 3, he says, "You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you." That word remain, we've said, everybody say remain. We have to remain in the vine. That means stay there, abide there, pitch a tent, build a house, set down stakes. We're going to stake our lives on staying connected to Jesus in the vine. And he says, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And bless our hearts, churches try it all the time. We try to do things our own way. And then Jesus comes along. He does something magnificent. We go, oh, where did that come from? And but he says, you can't be fruit. You will be fruitless, or you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. And here's the point. The point of the message is that everything in our life is rivaling for our attention. Your job rivals for your attention. Your friends rival for your attention. Your spouse, your kids, your money, your this weekend is rivaling for everybody's attention, and we're excited because the day off tomorrow. You know, day's a work day for me, so I'm glad I'll take tomorrow off, whatever. But we get rivaled all the time, and this series is about how are we going to cut out not only the bad stuff in our life, but even the good stuff that gets in the way of the best stuff. In order to do that, I'm just going to tell you, somebody asked me today what we're talking about today, and I said, well, today's going to be a challenge. Because the first couple of weeks in this series, we talked about pruning our thoughts, which is hard enough. Motives first, and then our thoughts. Motives and thoughts, we've talked about those things. If you missed those messages, you can go back to our website and get those. Or download, have we said the app today yet? Anyway, I'm saying download the app and find them on there. And today, from Colossians 3, God's just going to break open some word for you and me, and we're going to get to learn some things together. So go ahead and get ready to take some notes. And what I want you to understand, the first part of this text really kind of sums up the first two messages, and the reason I didn't read the same refrain that I did the last two times is because he sums it up right here. And let me tell you this. There's a lot of word in here today, a lot of scripture, but it's all mostly out of the first chapter, the third chapter of Colossians. But sometimes when we read a lot of scripture, if you don't know your Bible, and it's okay that you don't, you're trying to learn, maybe you're here or whatever, I want you to learn it. This passage is deep, man. It is just a lot here for us to grab hold of, and I hope I'll be able to break this open for us where we can chew on it. That's what my job is. I'm supposed to put it down low where the people and me and everybody else, we need to chew on it very well, and I'm hoping I'm able to do that. The first point today is that we have a new life with Jesus. That's been the first 2 weeks we've talked about. We have this new life with Christ. He says, since, and the word, everybody say since. The word since means, oh, okay, this is not if, but it's there's some certainty in this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. That's the first 2 weeks. Set your hearts, your mind, your motives, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is already ruling and reigning. We don't have to wait for him to rule and reign. He's already doing that. So set your mind on those things that he wants you to set your mind on. Next phrase, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And that little phrase can be confusing because in our culture, people tell you to hide your faith. Don't tell me your faith. I don't want to know your faith. That's your personal business. Don't throw it on me. Don't force it on me. We're not trying to force anything. We're just trying to save your life. I mean, it's like forcing someone with a floaty or a lifesaver that's drowning. I mean, let me give you this. You know, I'm not trying to force you, man, but if you don't take this, you're going to drown. And if you don't learn who Jesus is in your life and understand that from his resurrection, we get raised to live a new life, he's saying that we got to set our mind on those things. We've died. The life hidden with Christ means a life secured in Christ. It doesn't mean it's hidden somewhere. You got to go find it. Stop seeking the will of God except for in your personal walk, because I want you to do that. But maybe what some specific things he wants you to do. But here's the general thing. Everybody's called to come to Jesus, follow him, and tell somebody else about him, and keep doing that over and over and over again until he comes back. That's our call. It's that simple. It's that simple. It doesn't matter where on the planet you are. In fact, I will say, if Elon Musk makes it to Mars and he finds a human or some kind of oid there, a somethingoid or whatever he finds, whatever they might find there, it is subject to the laws of Christ because he created it all. Right. So it has to bow to his name, whatever it is, okay? And if you're not doing that, you need to. I got to move. When Christ, who is your life, did you hear that? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. You want that. When Jesus comes back, you don't want to be looking for a rock to fall on you or a mountain to fall on you or to be hiding from him. You want to be looking up going, hey, Dan and I had a moment last week. We were out here in front of Terra Nova's, and we were talking and praying as we usually do when we get together. And we were just like, man, we're ready, dude. We're both looking up in the sky. Okay, Jesus, we're ready. Come on, man, anytime. Anytime. And that's how we look. Do y'all hear my voice is getting shot already? Maybe a short sermon today. Amen? I don't know. I was singing so hard back here, I about sung my voice out. Our thoughts and motives must be centered and focused on who Christ is. And let everything in your life be covered. That's not maybe hidden is a different word for us, but it's not really hidden away. It's covered. It's secured. It's locked away in Christ. And you've submitted to that, and you're following his way. We are inwardly protected so that when he comes back, it will be made known and open, and we can go, oh, man, I'm so glad to get here. You ever just go on a trip and you come back and you walk into your house and you drop the bags and you just sit on the sofa for a little while and go, man, it's good to be home. That's what heaven's going to be. It's going to be good to be there. You planning to go? If I told you there was a bus out front ready to go, would you go? Would you go get in it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. In a heartbeat, man, we would. So what are we going to do? What are the results then of this new life? That's this week's lessons. And this week we're going to talk about pruning our actions. And we're about to get into some stuff that you're going to go, ouch, and whoa, pruning hurts. I mean, it does. If a plant could talk when you snip the limb, it would go, hey, what's up with that? You know, don't be doing that. If a statue you're trying to build, you tink off a piece of rock you don't need, if it could talk and were animated, it would go, hey. So when we begin to ask God to prune these things from our life and clear our thoughts and our motives and our minds, and now today clear our actions. Oftentimes in grace-centered, Jesus-loving churches, we forget that there's things that we do. There's actions that we take. Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So if the kingdom's going to come on earth as it is in heaven, then all of us believers are going to have to do something. So I love Matt West's song. I refer to it a lot when he says, you know, he's asking, Lord, why don't you do something about my situation? Why don't you do it? He said, I did. I sent you. All the ills in the world. That's why he sent us here. So first thing he's asking us to do is to cut out sinful actions. And I love it when the Bible gives lists. I grew up in a list church. Man, we knew all the judges' names and the books of the Bibles. And you guys who grew up in Sunday school like I did, you remember those times, those drills. We'd have Bible drills, and we'd learn lists of things. And we'd learn Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer. That's how I learned the judges. And I still sing it today. I learned that in grade school. And the concept is that we like lists. I like lists. Because in my world that I grew up in, a legalistic church that did not have any grace much, that was what we hung our hat on. Here's a list we can serve God in. It's something I know to do, and I can do it. Well, when you get into grace, you find grace, and you go, well, God loves me even when I sin? Are you for real? Well, man. And you can go one or two ways with that. And Paul is calling us back to a center to say, if you're serving Christ, it's got to not only change. Thank you, brother. It's not only going to change your thoughts and your motives. It's going to change some things that you're going to do. And the first challenge he says in Scripture is this. Put to death. Y'all say that phrase with me. Put it to death. Got to kill it. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking. I love the NLT here. It's lurking within you. You know what those are, right? You know what they are for you. You know what lurks in your mind? That as soon as you're flipping through reels and something pops up and you see it and you go, whoa, 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 I got to lurk away from that because that's lurking in my heart. I don't need to go there. And so that idea, it's sin does that. He says, have nothing to do, and he hits one, sexual immorality. We're not going to break all these down, but I want you to understand that Paul is trying to get us to see there's a different way to live. He says we need to have nothing to do with sexual immorality. That doesn't mean we're going to watch a movie if it's rated PG-13, if it's got just a little nudity in it instead of the R, the X, and the porn online. Yep. Paul's saying have nothing to do with it. He's not saying just kind of, you know, it's all right to hang out a little bit over here with. No, it's not all right. And I just want to challenge me today in front of you so we can all be challenged together to really take this stuff seriously. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. And for a greedy person is an idolater. He said, man, you know, look at these words. Paul's not missing any words here. And I don't think Paul's trying to put us on a guilt trip as we're struggling with these things. Okay, I'm not talking about something where you just, Oh, I sinned, therefore I'm out. That's what I believe. This is the wrong view of this list. Oh, I saw a woman and I lusted after her, therefore I'm lost. God kicked me out because I sinned with my eyes. I said, forgive me, God. Poop, voila, I'm back in. And I lived my life like that. It's hard. You guys who lived it with me, y'all know what I'm talking about. And you get to a point where you just go, well, man, I would actually say to hell with this. This is where I can't do it. It's impossible. But it doesn't negate the list to give me permission to go, well, if God's going to forgive me anyway, I'll just lust. I'll just participate in some impurities. And y'all, our culture is so dangerous with this stuff. We're treating things that God calls in his word abominations like they're just everyday stuff. And I can give you lots of illustrations. I'm not. You know the things that are for you there. He said, worshiping the things of this world. The word worship is proskuneo. It means to bow down to. It means to literally put yourself on your face before that. And we do it all the time to our little squares. There are all little squares everywhere. There's a big one right there, and there's a big one, a little tiny one right here. And there's just, we just look at these little screens, and we just bow. We got to slow this down, and I got to move forward, man. I'm going to be in point one till the end of this message. He goes on to say, worshiping the things of the world, because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. So it's coming. Paul says, don't just dilly with it. Put it to death. Because he says this, you used to do these things. Did you hear that past tense? This used to be who you are. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. There's a continuation in this that you don't see in the English. He's not talking about a sin every now and then where you fall and you go, oh, God, I am sorry. And you have this spirit about you that said, he's talking about we used to live in it, continue in it, walk in it, move forward in it. It was our life. Do you remember the days when you cussed and you didn't care that you cussed? The days that you looked at porn and you didn't care that you looked at porn? Or you drank the whatever it was you drank, you didn't care that you did it? You just thought it was part of everyday life. It's just what you do. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes in and says, wait a minute. And it stops you. And you go, wait a minute, this is not right. For me, it happened from a Friday to a Monday. I gave my life back to Jesus. I was already a believer, but I restored my life back to him. And on Monday, I went from Friday telling the jokes and listening to the jokes to Monday trying my best to refrain from cussing. That's hard. When you put it in your head and we listen to it on TV and we listen to movies, all these things, and we feed our lives with it, and then we expect ourselves to just go, okay, I'm done with that. I remember where I was standing when I said my first cuss word after I restored my life back to him, and it was the word hell. Now we don't. I can say that in church, and nobody gets freaked out. I started to experiment with that, but I didn't. But anyway, I'm not gonna be that brass because somebody will put it online and look at this pastor. He's a cussing pastor. No, I'm not. I'm a struggling guy who's saved by Jesus who don't want it anymore. I don't want it anymore. I don't want it. I don't want the anxiety. I don't want the lust. I don't want the cussing. I don't want all that stuff anymore. So I'm trying to live my life the other way. He said, that used to be what you do. But now it is time to get rid of the anger. He gives another list. Rage and malicious behavior and slander and dirty language. I had an agnostic argument one day. The Bible don't talk about dirty language. I can say, well, these words don't mean anything anyway, right? I said, are you sure about that? I love it when agnostics and atheists try to argue Bible with me. I'm no expert, but I mean, I know where to find the answer if I do. And I looked at it and I read this verse, and he was like, oh, didn't know that was there. I said, there's a lot in the Bible you don't know, but I'd love to be able to share it with you. I'd love to be able to open your life up to something good, because the drink you're holding in your hand, what's that getting for you when you get done with that? That's your answer. My answer is God, that sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe. I wanted my scans to be clear. They found a spot on my liver. So I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do with this? Well, I'm going to serve God. Until I, whenever that is, whenever that comes down the pike, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to cry and talk to my wife, and she's going to say things to me like she did today, but hey, we're still going to take this one day at a time. And I'm going to listen to my kids who say, Dad, you ain't gone. And I'm going to listen to my church family and my shepherds and all these people around. That's why we have each other, to get through this kind of stuff. And so don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off the old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. I love the Message paraphrase of this verse. He says, you're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you stripped off and put in the fire. He didn't say you do like I do with clothes, right? I lost a bunch of weight. And I was going to throw a bunch of clothes away. Now, I put them in another closet because I thought that might come back one day. And it did. I'm telling you, it came back. And now I still have some clothes to wear and all these things, you know. And yeah, praise the Lord for that. Amen. I get that. Put it in the fire. He said, don't put it in a closet so you can go back and get it one day. Put those things to death. Put them away. Get them out of your life. Do whatever you have to do that. He says that this new life, it goes on to say that now you're dressed in this new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made. I've never had a custom made anything in my life. I wonder what that would be like. Part of it's because I don't want them to measure places. I'll just cover that part up, man. I don't want you to put something there that's going to fit. But custom, God says, I have custom made you a life worth living. And you still put on the old, filthy, ill-fitting rags. Somebody in your life is going to look at you and they're going to say, that doesn't look good. You need to change that. And they're going to bless your life with giving you who Christ is. So what does this life change mean? The next point is this. We are becoming like our Lord. The idea of giving up, culling, cutting away, pruning, taking those things out is I'm becoming like my Lord. It is a moving toward the very nature of Jesus kind of process. It's a big Christian word called sanctification. To know him, to become like him, and to do as he did. It's cutting away the sinful nature by becoming daily followers of our new nature. It feels really good to do it right. You know, it really feels great to do it right. Because God created us to do it right. We got to stop excusing ourselves to do it wrong. Take on the new nature, the way of Jesus, and moving forward in our changed lives. Here's the way Paul says it in his word. Put on your new nature and be renewed. The word be renewed here in the NLT is a little unclear. It's almost like you've got to be renewed. This is our being. You are being renewed. This is, if you look at this in the original language, and some translations translate it this way, but it says, you are being renewed as you learn to grow and to know our Creator. This is a process. It's like training somebody for work. You don't expect a host just to walk in and know what to do. You got to teach them, right? I don't expect somebody to just take something here. We got to train. We got to do better. I don't expect you just to know what to do. God doesn't expect us just to go, okay, you were a cussing sailor today, and you got healed from all that, and you're free from that, and you're forgiven for all that, but this is going to be a process. Give yourself grace because he does. So that sounds like I'm talking against what I said earlier. If you read the Bible long enough, it sounds like James is talking against Paul in Romans. But he's not. He's not. He's just simply saying that this is a new creation. New creation. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are Jew, Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivil, slave, free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. This is not something about a specific race of people, about a specific gender of people. It's not about a specific religious kind of people. This is everybody in Christ being who he is. And the new self does not, it doesn't decay, it doesn't grow old, but by constant renewal, the Bible says, it takes on more and more the image of God. It's as we keep taking things out of our life and replacing them with what God says, and taking this out of our life and replacing with what God says, when we keep doing that time and time again, everybody say practice. I did not get to be the most amazing drummer in the world because I didn't practice. Go on, laugh, that's funny, because I'm not. But I'm going to tell you something, man. It's fun teaching Enoch and Robert and now Mo. You should have seen Mo. I got a video if you want to see it. Mo came up the other day. She wanted to, see, Poppy, will you play with me? And I was like, no, get out of my office, man. What's wrong with you? I didn't do that. No, we came in here and sat on the drum set, and I had her playing. Da, 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 one and two and three and four. And she's playing. She counted out loud. But if she's going to get better at it, she's got to practice. And if we're going to get better at this walk with Jesus, y'all, we have to begin to practice. Things do not just come naturally to us. It has to come supernaturally. In order to do that, we got to practice. We got to keep moving in our life. This is not a guilt sermon. This is a challenge message for all of us. And I've completely, lost my place where I'm supposed to be right here. We are being renewed. And in becoming, the next point is this. In becoming, we change our lives. The renewing of our motives and thoughts, the renewing of the mind may be a process, but listen to this. It's a moving process. It's motivated because your heart changes, your mind changes, your thoughts and your motives change so that your actions begin to line up with that. In fast pitch softball, they call it muscle memory. You try to pitch like that. I used to challenge my boys on my baseball team to pitch like the girls did on softball team. They can't do it, not without practice. And it's before long, but you do that windmill enough, and you do it enough, and you do it enough, your body just does it automatically. If you do it walking down the street, it's like marching. I was marching in high school, and we always led with our left foot. If I ever see anybody lead with their right foot, it just bothers the daylights out of me, because in marching, you start, one, two, you start with your left foot every time, every time. And I can walk down the street and hear music or whatever, and I start walking in step with that music because it's so ingrained in my mind. I want that to be the way that I want my default mode to not be anything but what Jesus would have me in my life, to march just with him. He's my master, right? And if he is, then I need to follow through the power of Holy Spirit to do what I have to do. That was last week. If you get the Holy Spirit message, you go back and get it. And we're thinking about next week about having a service here that we'll see what happens, okay? I won't tell you everything, but I'm looking forward to that. And so engaging with our new nature helps us to be and do like Christ does. So he says in the text, since God chose you to be a, what kind of people? Holy. Say it again. Holy. When you think of holy, what do you think of? What goes through your mind? Purity. Most people, if you ask anybody on the street, hey, if you're living a holy life, what does that mean? First thing out of their mouth is, well, I go to church. Church don't make you holy. In fact, I've seen some really unholy stuff in church. And when you learn what holy actually means, it becomes a whole different world to you. Holy means separate from any other thing that's in the world. It's the word. It's a sanctus. It's this idea of sanctified. It's set apart. It's different. When we say God is holy, we're not saying God is just pure or he's just good or he does a lot of great things. Although he does all those things and he is all those things. When we say he's holy, there's nothing else you can compare God to. You say, well, he's not. God is like such and such. God is like this. No, we can say we're like him. But he's unlike any other thing that exists, any other entity or person that exists. He is holy, is separate. And so when he asked us to be holy, since God chose you to be his holy people, the holy people he loves, you must, there's that word again, clothe yourself with. Here's the opposite list. We've already heard the bad list. This is the opposite list. Clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness. We need some kindness in the world. Have you ever noticed that if somebody messes up your order in a restaurant, they come to your table nervous wreck. They walk up to your table scared to death. Why? Because they've been told over and over again, you got this wrong. I didn't cook it. I just brought it to you. Serving you. We just get spoiled, don't we? I go through the drive-thru one day. They messed. I couldn't hear the thing. I can't hear much of anything. But, y'all, when it talks like this, what? I told them what I wanted. Would you like a fish? I didn't know you served. What are you talking about? I said, all I want is this, this, and this. And I told them, and I just drove. I just took off. Got to the window. And I thought, before I get up and talk to this person, I'm just going to be nice as I can possibly be. And I just said, hey, I want you to know I wasn't mad at you. I just can't hear well, and I didn't hear what you had to say. And this young man was so nice. He said, well, it's okay, sir. It's all right. It's all good. It's good. He said, here's your drink, and here's your bag. And there's a, and I drove off. I didn't pay the kid. This was yesterday. Liz, you ain't even heard this story, have you? Yeah, I go through it. I go, and Liz was gone. She had gone to do her hair. And I go home. I thought, I'm going to go home, kick back, eat some. I pulled in my driveway, y'all, in my mind, thought, I did not pay that kid. And I don't know how many times they messed up my order. They probably owe me a meal, so I'll just stay home. I didn't do that. I drove back and drove right up to the window, and I looked at him. I said, dude, I didn't pay you. And he said, yes, sir, I know. And so, anyway, that little bit of encounter, that was good. He said, thank you for coming back. I said, well, thank you for being nice about it. And it wrecked me, y'all. It wrecked me. Because of where my mind has been off and on lately because of the whole thing and all this. But anyway, I just pulled into the parking lot there and just pulled over and just squalled for a few minutes. Then I ate and went home. And my point is, while I'm driving up to that window, Holy Spirit is like, calm down, dude. Before you get to this window, this kid's scared to death already that you're mad at him. And it was just so good. And it wound up being a good thing. I even told him before I drove, I said, man, I've had a really tough things in my thoughts. And I don't know why I'm telling this. He don't know me. It was so funny because, y'all, he had this headset on one ear, and he had an earbud, not a bud. He had an earpiece with the wire hanging attached to his phone. This is an old school kid, man. I'm talking. He's hanging. He's got the earbud over. I said, you ain't listening to me anyway. That's what I wanted to say. But anyway. My point in all that is kindness, humility, and gentleness will get you a long way with people. Move in the power of Holy Spirit. Move in the power of Holy Spirit. Make allowances for each other. Y'all, I need a break. You need a break. You know why? Because you and I both mess it up. And so make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone. That's an ouch, isn't it? Anyone who offends you. Anyone. So easy to lash out and take revenge, but it's hard to go, you know what? Stepping away from this. I got another story to tell you. I don't have time to tell you. Remember, he says, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And then he puts Jesus in the mix. Don't you hate it when the Bible says you need to compare your life to Jesus because there's just no comparison? I mean, you put Jesus over here on a scale, and you put me over here, and I'm never budging the scale because his goodness is so good and my evil is so bad. It's my evil that put him on the cross. So there's no comparison to the good and the bad. So we can't even go there. But he says, Jesus forgave, you have to forgive. Above all, and here's this word again, clothe yourself with love. And this is a list he's going to give you. It sounds just like the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, there's another list. Here's your list. He says, notice with that clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. I love harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace. Always be thankful. And he ends that phrase there. This idea of taking out the lust and the anger and the frustration and the all the things that he listed in the other list. This idea of sexual immorality and impurities and anger and malice and all of these things. He said, if you take those out, then there's room for this tender-hearted kindness that brings you the kind of peace that you can't even explain. As angry as David sounds in some of the Psalms that he writes, he always comes back to the peace that he has because his Father is who he is. Live in that fruit. He says here, the fruit of this starts with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And the conclusion of this is this, that when we take on the very nature of our Lord, when we prune away the bad stuff, we work on the bad stuff, and please, do I need to qualify? I'm going to qualify because I don't want you to miss this. Because when I was younger in church, and I heard a list like that, and I knew I was struggling with one or two things in that list, I'd just say, well, I guess they don't want me over there. I guess I just have to check out and have to be done. Please don't miss the part of this, that this is a process. It's a process. And where we don't use God's grace as an excuse to sin, we also do not live in shame because Jesus took the shame away from us on the cross. So I get to live in freedom. So all you guys who were having somewhat of a spiritual dichotomy there and you were fighting in your mind, was he saying this or is he saying that? The answer is yes. I'm saying both. Both. And it's a call to a different life. If we are going to be what Jesus prayed for, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, then we got to be different. We just do. And one of the joys I get out of my life is watching the fruit of the Spirit come into people's lives and him transform them. You see, when I was a young preacher, I felt like it was my preaching that had to transform. It was my begging you to come that would help you come to Christ. It was my persuasive power and my able. I'm a salesman, so I can talk to anybody about Jesus because he's easy to sell. That's not what this is about. Because the power doesn't lie within me. And as much as fun as I love worship, it doesn't. It's not even the songwriters, the people perform. We're not performing. It's the people who are performing for God. We love God. It's not you singing or someone around you doing something. It is all wrapped up in what Jesus already did. And we take what he already did. We become like him so that we can do as he does so that people won't even see us. They won't even see us. We pray it all the time around here. Lord, move us out of the way. Just help us be who you've called us to be so that more people can come and find out what this life is about. And I'll just say this. If you're confused about all of that, please see me afterwards. I'd love to talk to you about it. If there's a confusion in that, I hope I made that kind of clear there. Because the end result of this changed life, Paul gives us a last little phrase here in this particular section of his word. He says this. We become Jesus' disciples full of worship and gratitude. I mean, if you and I could just turn our lives into a life of worship and gratitude, it would turn the volume knob way down on our expectancy of each other. Because then when you mess up and I mess up, we could say to each other, hey, I know what that feels like. Let's do better. Can we work together on that? And we have grace and love. Do you see the peace in that? Works that way in every part of, every aspect of our lives. And Paul ends it this way. He says, let the message about Christ. What is the message about Christ? If you look at this in the New Testament, all the way through, and all the writings in the New Testament, the letters and the so on, all those things, you see this thread all the way through that the message about Christ is the centerpiece of not only the New Testament, but the Bible. And the message about Christ to them was this. Hey, prayer team, I'm going to ask you guys, come all the way down front. Y'all just come on. Everybody stay down front. Y'all, we kind of changed this a little bit. Come on, Steve. Y'all come on down, brother. Stand down front. Because the challenge is this. We want you to move in a moment for prayer, but I want you to see who's down. I want you to be able to see. A lot of times they're behind you. Who are these people? Y'all just find a place down here. We're going to ask you to come and pray. And listen, you may be struggling with some of these things, but the message about Christ is this. The message about Christ is that Jesus died for you. He resurrected for you. He lived a perfect life for you so that you could be saved one day. That's the short of it. That's the what we call the core gospel. And so when the message about Christ permeates your life, it's the filter through which everything else runs. And that's how we filter out anger and malice and rage, all those things. We filter everything. God, does this fit in your kingdom? Was this like Jesus? It's filtered through his life, through his death and his resurrection. Everything's filtered through. And when it is, you filter out those things. And what's left is the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. It's these great, wonderful things that we get to participate in. So, if you believe in Christ and you're following Christ, ask yourself, which side of those lists am I on? Does anger rule me right now? I'm asking you to call it today. Put it to death. Let Jesus crucify it, if you will. Let him nail it to a cross and put it behind you. And let him have that, because he's taken it on already. You just have to let him have it. But the message about Christ, in all of its richness, look at this little phrase, fill your life. Fill it. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. There's an action to take. We have the message of Christ. We teach it. And then he says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness, with thankful hearts. This, the outpouring of Holy Spirit coming into your life is something's going to be worded. Something's going to be said. There's going to be an action taken in your life. Y'all, too many of us are too afraid that God's going to do something in our life. And that's one reason we don't come to him, because we like it where we are. It's time to step out of that comfort zone and let him move you. Sing those songs. Love him in spiritual songs. Whatever you do or say, whatever he said you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. All I want to ask you to do today, y'all stand with me, come on. Y'all stand. I'm going to ask you in prayer today. I'm going to ask you this once, and I'm going to just be quiet and let you come. I need you to step out today. God needs you to step out today. I mean, let me say it beyond me and God needs you. You need you to step out today. And you need to come pray over whatever that sin is in your life, that thing that's there. Pray. Listen, God, be very careful with this. Just come and pray. come and pray expectant. If you want to hold your hands out and receive, that's fine. Like Caleb did for us a while ago, the visual. Let him come and remove that thing that's in your life, whatever it is, so that he can place back into your hand, in your heart, in your life, what he wants you to be. Live the fruit of the Spirit. Let it permeate your life. Father, I want to pray in general as we begin to worship. I pray, Father, that we will focus our minds and our hearts and our motives to you so that today we can take a step and move in faith, empowered by your Holy Spirit, as we take on the very nature of Jesus. And through his power, Lord, through his power, we can expect to practice a brand new life centered in the teachings and actions of our Master Jesus. And it is through him that we pray this. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you guys just go ahead and step out, come. Some of the prayer teams down here. It's open now. People are coming already. Please, take a step. Take a step. hear you guys sing. It's so good. When I'm back here, I can't hear you. And it's awesome, man, just to be right here, just to hear all of our voices lifting in praise. See, it's so good. Can I get an amen about that? Come on now. Yeah, that's amen. We love you. We thank you for being here today. So many guests. We want you to stay. Put your connection cards, if you did one, in those little black boxes on the wall back there. We'd love to get connected with you. God bless you. If you still have questions, if you've got time, you need prayer, whatever you need, they want to come forward, whatever, please see one of us. You see these people. You see who they are. Go ahead and recognize their faces. These are prayer team warriors. They pray for you all the time. So come find somebody and let us pray for you. We love you. We love you. God, we want to praise you one more time. We just thank you, honor you, and praise you for what you're going to do in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, y'all. Yeah.